Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Page Back Issue Spotlight. My name is John Mayo, and I'll be your host.
And I'm Bob Breitall. In this episode, we'll be discussing a wide variety of back issues that John and I have recently acquired or read, as well as a spotlight on a classic comic storyline. I want to welcome everyone to our Christmas episode of the Back Issue Spotlight. Merry Christmas and happy holiday for 2007 for all of our listeners. We're going to focus on some Christmas-oriented comics in this episode and just do a very brief back issue look. What back issues have you gotten lately, John?
I got a bunch, but there's only two that I'll talk about for this, keeping with the theme of the show. The first is going to be one of the ones we're talking about this episode, which is Christmas with the Superheroes. This is one that you had recommended, and it was back in 1988, so I don't know how I missed this to begin with, but I didn't have it in my database, and I know I've read a few of these stories before, but I got that from my comic shop, and it was good deal or whatever. It wasn't that expensive. How much did I pay for that? I paid $1.99. Cover price is $2.95. So, I mean, you can't go wrong with that. Now, the other one is one that I also credit you with, and I definitely say credit, not blame, because this was a steal of a deal. You pointed out to me one of the nights we were talking on Skype about the Tales of Suspense issue 63 that my comic shop had in very good condition, and I forget how much this guides for, but I can pull out my price guide real quick and find out. Because you're such a horrible influence, I now have this thing sitting right next to my computer.
I've got one too. I'm racing you to Tales of Suspense.
And in very good, it is $54. Did I read that right? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking at it.
That's according to the Overstreet number 37 on page 883.
It's the first Silver Age origin story of Captain America.
And, I mean, normally I don't go for comics this far back because I'm too cheap to pay for them. But every once in a while I'll find something, or, you know, not once in a while. This is probably the first time it's happened. That's in my price range. They had this listed for after the weekly discount or whatever. I paid $4.75 for it. I mean, that's a tenth of what it goes for in guide. And, I mean, it looks to be, I would say, and I mean, I'm no grading expert or anything, but I would say, you know, it certainly qualifies as very good condition. And heck, frankly, even if it didn't, I mean, for the $4.75 I paid for it, it was a bargain. So, I mean, that's just, go through the websites for these places. Every once in a while, you're going to find just an amazing deal. And, you know, the worst that could have happened to me is they could have said, we looked at it, we realized it was, you know, priced wrong, sorry. But they didn't, so I got it, so I'm happy. So, thanks, Bob.
Yeah, I saw that one, and I was like, well, I've already got that issue, but someone better buy that. It's a really good deal. Don't want to pass that up, you know, for $5. I'm like, dang, that was a really good deal.
And don't feel too bad for my comic shop, because they got another $140 of my dollars just on that order, and another $145 or something on a subsequent order, so.
Yeah.
They're getting my money either way. What all did you get?
I'm only going to cover, I got one non-Christmas issue, then a bunch of Christmas issues that I'll cover here. The Christmas issues were, I was at the local show that I go to, Frank and Sons, here in Southern California, and a guy had a couple of really old Dell four-color Santa Claus funnies up on his rack. Christmas special, $5 a piece. And they're very classy. So they're called Santa Claus funnies, and they're Dell four-color number 61 and number 205. They're back from the 40s and early 50s, these comics. And they were like, you know, maybe good, very good condition. Well, they, you know, what the hell, $5 a piece, or, you know, kind of cool Christmas comics. So I picked them up. When I got home, I looked at my price guide, and they go for, in that condition, like $80 or something. So again, it was kind of like your my comic shop deal. So that was my Christmas deal, getting some very old, very classic Santa Claus comics. And then I had Christmas with the Superheroes number one, but when I was poking around, I noticed that there was a number two issue of it that came out that I didn't have. So I bought that. I got the Extreme Super Christmas special that we're doing on this episode because I didn't have that. And I think I paid $1.50 for that. And then I noticed also that there were a whole bunch of the Marvel holiday specials that I, in the 90s, that I had somehow not gotten. So I picked up the 91, 93. They did two with dates in 1994. But one was at the beginning of the year, one was at the end of the year, and it was really kind of the 95 one, I think. And then there's a 96, a 2004, and 2005. So like seven Marvel holiday specials that each one of them was no more than $2. And then most of them were like a buck and a half. So that was my Christmas hoard of comics that I got. And what I do with these Christmas comics is I store them with the Christmas decorations instead of in with my normal books. And that way, when Christmas time comes around, you know, after Thanksgiving, I pull them out and say, oh, cool, here's all my Christmas comics. And I kind of read through them, you know, look through them for, you know, my holiday season. So maybe we'll hit some more of these next Christmas time, ones that we're not talking about on this episode. And then my one non-Christmas one, I just couldn't resist. It was $2 at that same Frankenstein show. It was Classics Illustrated number 142, featuring Abraham Lincoln. And I call this the Don't Mess with Abraham Lincoln issue of Classics Illustrated. If you look this one up online or something, Classics Illustrated 142, it's got this shirtless Abe Lincoln wrestling with some guy in the wilderness. There's like they're in some kind of pasture, and there's mountains and forest in the background, and they look like they're just ready to throw down. And Abe's got a real "don't screw with me" list on his face. You know, there's like someone who's a secessionist or something. That's probably he's getting pissed off at him. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it just struck my fancy that I had to get this issue. So
cool. Okay. I guess we should just start in, take them in alphabetical order.
Yep. Sounds good to me.
That starts us off with the Christmas with the Superheroes, the first issue from 1988. And this has a really nice John Byrne cover. And it reprints, let's see, six stories. It reprints a Batman story from the DC Special Series number 21 from 1979. It reprints the Justice League story from Justice League of America 110 from 1974. A story from Teen Titans 13 from 1968. A Legion of Superheroes story from the DC Special Series number 21, also from 1979, which is the same issue the Batman's from. Issue of DC Comics Presents from 1984, and an issue of Batman from 1970.
Yeah, this is like 100 pages or so. I didn't count the pages. It's got to be 100 pages of comics in here.
I was assuming it was 80, but it's huge. There were a few of these that I know I've read before, but let's just go, I guess, quickly story by story, starting with the Batman in Wanted Santa Claus, Dead or Alive. And this was written by Denny O'Neill, art by Frank Miller, Steve Mitchell, and kind of, you know, classic look for a Batman story for that era. And I thought it was good. I thought it was fun. Art in a few places, a little shaky, but it was a nice 8-page backup story somewhere. And quick, to the point, what do you think of it, Bob?
No, I liked it. I remember reading this, you know, originally, because I definitely have that DC Special Series issue. But, you know, it's a good story. It's well worth the 8 or so pages. I just did a quick count on the issue, and my count came out 92, so...
Oh,
wow. I could be off by one or two, but it's definitely more than 80.
Wow, that's cool.
And this Justice League story I had read before, it was kind of an interesting sort of Christmas story. I mean, it's mostly a story about the key, and you got some little bit of, you know, teasing Red Tornado about, you know, hey, you know, you're an android, what do you know about Christmas, you know, kind of thing. But I found it was this is a very pivotal issue of Justice League, because, you know, Red Tornado gets his new costume at the end.
Yeah.
And we find that Black Canary's the one who thought it was a really good idea to put those yellow stripes all over it and such. And also, John Stewart makes a very early appearance in this issue.
Well, it's funny because the reason he appears is Hal Jordan's unavailable, and I swear I've read that sequence before.
It seems to be like Hal Jordan. I mean, he's Green Lantern. Green Lantern. It's like poor schmuck gets out of the shower. He has a bar of soap sitting on the floor, slips on it, knocks himself out. So the ring goes and gets John Stewart to do the mission. It's like, come on, Hal. I'll give you a little more credit than that. You're a test pilot and a superhero. Don't leave bars of soap laying around on the floor and stuff as a plot device.
Yeah. At least watch where you're, you know, walking or something. Jeez.
It was a good issue, though. I mean, that was a very good classic issue of Justice League reprinted. You know, Dick Dillon, I believe, on the art. Let me check here really quick. Yeah, Dick Dillon and Dick Giordano. You know, this is back when Len Wein was writing it.
Yeah, it was a fun issue. I liked it. And, I mean, again, some of the little bits of, you know, like you said, Red Tornado getting his new costume. I love that costume. And, you know, for the rest of the start of that story, I'm like, geez, this is really aged because it's so far back that when he had the purple cape and all that stuff. So this was fun. I mean, this was Satellite era Justice League, reasonably early Satellite era, I think. But that's one of my favorite time frames for that team.
Yeah, very, very early in, you know, that kind of run of the Justice League, kind of like right when they were switching from the classic to more of the modern Justice League type of story.
Yeah.
I did find it interesting that you know, some of the dynamics of a Justice League story back then, because I don't think they typically told as large scale a story back then. So they had to come up with reasons why Superman or Green Lantern couldn't just solve the thing like in two panels at the very beginning. So there's liberal use of the color yellow weakness of the Green Lantern ring. There's a lot of red sun stuff for a Superman. And there's just, they do their due diligence to make sure that the powerhouses on the team just don't put the slap down on the key in, like I said, two or three panels.
Yeah, it's like, okay, you know, if we have the Flash, that'll make things too easy. So he's busy elsewhere, which is, you know, fine and good. It was fun. I liked it.
Yeah. I mean, out of the issues reprinted here, this one had the most tenuous Christmas connection.
Yes.
So moving on to the Teen Titans story, it was kind of a retelling of the Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
You know, they got like Ebenezer Scrooge and
Tiny Tom.
Yeah, you know, it was okay. I mean, it was not my favorite story in the issue. I mean, it's a classic. I mean, Nick Carty art and, you know, just classic Teen Titans. But this one, it didn't age as well as some of the other things in here. Let's just put it that way, in my opinion.
Yeah, and particularly there were aspects of the big fight scene at the end that it's like, okay, this is just kind of doesn't make sense.
You know, some of the stuff with, you know, like Wonder Chick, you know, and, you know, just how Wonder Girl like acts somewhat helpless and rescue me kind of thing. It is not the most sparkling moment in, you know, strong female characters in comics, you know, so.
Well, I mean, you've also got the Moaning Mackerel, What's Got Me from Aqualad. I mean, part of it is the hip jive lingo they're all spouting.
Yeah.
It's certainly dated.
It's a period piece that just doesn't age as well as some of the other stuff that's reprinted here.
Yeah, but I mean, to me, that's part of the charm of that era of the Titans.
Moving into the Legion story, beautiful art on this one. I mean, Jose Luis Garcia Lopez and Dick Giordano, Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes story. And this was just a pleasure to reread.
Oh, yeah.
I love this era of the Legion, too.
Well, I mean, you've got Paul Levitt's writing. This was one of the heydays of the team. They were, you know, it was just really good stuff for the team back then. This was the era of the Legion that, you know, I first started reading and got totally hooked on. It's excellent stuff, and the story was no exception.
Yeah, and, you know, basically the premise of this story is Superboy comes to the future, and it's Christmas time. They do a little bit of stuff on Christmas and holiday stuff because, you know, Colossal Boy's Jewish, so they do a little Hanukkah thing there. And then Superboy says, hey, I always wanted to look for the Christmas star that shone over Bethlehem, and they go out into space and go looking for, you know, where that star might have been. So
now they fail to find the star, but they find a planet. They go explore, and they realize that planet's having some hard times, so they do what they can to fix things up.
Yeah, good story.
Yeah.
And then we move into DC Comics Presents, and DC Comics Presents, for people who don't remember it, this series was every issue Superman would team up with some other character. So it was, you know, Superman and Green Arrow, Superman and Flash, Superman and Wildcat, whatever. This issue officially was Superman and Santa Claus. The guest character in this issue was formerly Santa Claus, and as befits a Christmas story, Toy Man is the bad guy. You know, classic Kurt Swan and Murphy Anderson Superman art. Len Wein and E. Nelson Bridwell did the story, and it's just a fun Christmas. I would say this is the most Christmassy story in the whole thing, especially, you know, with the Santa Claus running around in it and stuff, and you got his reindeer team and the sled.
Oh, yeah.
And Superman helping deliver deliver presents to children. And it's just a, you know, fun Christmas kind of romp.
Well, and Santa's toys fighting Toy Man's toys and stuff like that. It was good stuff. It was, like you said, classic Kurt Swan, Murphy Anderson art, and totally Christmas-themed. I would say it was my favorite one of this issue.
Yeah, this one, this was right up there. And again, I have the original on this one.
Oh, yeah, same here.
This one and the Legion one, you know, those are right up there, my two favorites on the issue. And then, you know, the last story, Silent Night of the Batman, Neil Adams on the art on this one, Neil Adams and Dick Giordano. Kind of a weak Batman singing Christmas carols all night long with some people in the street. A little tenuous for the character of Batman, but, you know,
yeah,
the art's beautiful. You know, it's like you see in the Neil Adams art throughout. It's just really nice. And, you know, frankly, at the end of the day, you're talking 90 to 100 pages of comics, and this is available today as a back issue for about $2. This is a steal if you can pick this up. And the same thing with issue number 2 that came out a year or so later, the DC Christmas with the Superheroes. Again, I got that for a couple of bucks because that was the one that I didn't have. Another really huge issue, well worth picking up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Now, this was fun. Shall we move on to the Extreme Super Christmas Special?
Yes. This is the first one that I was reading for the first time out of this batch because the other ones we had picked I had read before. I thought it was fun.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I picked it. I'm not going to say this is a great comic. I'm going to say this is a silly, fun comic that's just kind of enjoyable. It's by Image. It's got art by Todd Knock, plot and layout by Keith Giffen, and it stars Troll. Troll is essentially Rob Liefeld's Wolverine stand-in, if you will. He's got the hairstyle, he's short, he's a scrapper fighter, doesn't have the claws, that's the big difference. Oh, and he's an actual troll. And the basic premise of the story is he has gone and essentially gotten into trouble with Cersei, the witch, and she makes him go and get all of the things from the 12 Days of Christmas song, or she'll turn all the men into pigs or something like that. So the whole story is him going, getting the 5 golden rings, getting all this stuff, and having to do it on an insanely short time frame. And it's silly, it's wacky, it's wild, but it's fun.
Yeah, it's like you get some, you know, the ladies dancing, he gets like some Rockettes from Radio City Music Hall, he gets swans a swimming, he goes to Parliament and, you know, gets lords a leaping, he goes to France to get French hens, and it turns out they're from Connecticut.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, why did it go all the way to France? You know, it's just, it's fun. It's fun. I like the, they didn't really show it, but they made the partridge in a pear tree was Danny Bonaducci from the Partridge Family. So, but it was fun. Again, I got this for like a buck and a half or something. So well worth, you know, a read. It's not classic best comic you'll ever read, but for a Christmas comic, you know, if you want to just get a comic to read at Christmas time, this is just a really fun comic.
Yeah.
I'm glad, John, you told me about that one, because I, left to my own devices, would probably not have found that one.
I'm glad you liked it. I was afraid I'd have to apologize for it. Because, I mean, it's surface level. It is what it is. It's, he goes after the stuff for the 12 Days of Christmas. Either you like the premise or you hate it. And I thought it was fun.
I just like looking at the little kind of in-jokes in the art and even the cover. You know, you see the Scottish Piper's pipe and you see some guys in like the powdered wigs jumping around. Those are the Lords of Leaping. Mm-hmm. You know, you got the, you know, drummers drumming and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it's just, it's fun.
Well, if you're going to do a Christmas theme issue, do a Christmas theme issue. And this totally fits the bill.
Right.
So I like it. Again, I'm not going to say it's a brilliantly well-done comic. It's perfectly good art, decent story, but, you know, it's not Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Nor does it set out to be. Next up is Fables number 56, and I'm going to say out of this entire stack, this was probably my favorite. I think it was very enjoyable, very well done, very Christmas-themed, and, you know, I love the series, so.
Santa is a fable. Mm-hmm. And it fits right in, and it was a great issue. And the basic premise here of this issue is that, well, there's a couple of themes here. One, you got Snow White and Bigby's kids, and they're kind of scheming around. Someone's going to forego their presents for the year to catch Santa and ask him a question. and that means you don't get presents this year, but you get to get the answer to a question. There's a really fun explanation of how Santa delivers all the gifts in one night. There's a little vignette where Jack Horner's trying to steal Santa's naughty and nice lists, you know, so he, which is in character for him. And there's just, so, you know, at the end, you know, it shows that Santa gives Bigby the naughty and nice lists to keep him safe. Just fun stuff. The cover, I love the cover of this one.
Yeah.
You know, I love the story. Just all around, you know, if you don't read Fables, you know, you can pick up just this issue as a great standalone, almost, you know, Christmas story.
What I loved about it is not only was it a great standalone Christmas story, it gave you a good introduction to a lot of the key characters in the series. And it did a good job moving the overall story forward. It's not like, okay, we're going to pause for a Christmas issue.
Right.
Some of the stuff they do with Fly is pivotal and, you know, sets up a lot of what's been going on lately in the series. You know, they even move some of the storyline along with Red Rose and Boy Blue, you know, when they're using the magic carpet and some stuff like that, which in and of itself is kind of a callback to the Arabian fables and stuff like that.
Right.
So it worked on so many levels.
The good part about it is Willingham does it in such a way that if you don't read the series, those don't slow the story down.
Yeah.
They're not something that's going to detract from the story. So you could read this as a standalone issue and get a great Christmas story out of it, or you could read it in the greater fabric of the Fables series and get those extra bits.
Yeah, and the fact that those scenes work for both purposes is awesome and shows just the talent that Willingham has demonstrated in this series and just the really, really solid writing. So I highly recommend this issue.
Yep, and we move to Superman number 165, Jeff Loeb and Ed McGuinness. Now, this is back from 2001, and I had forgotten the context, and then I started reading it. It's like, aha, you know, Lex Luthor has just been elected president of the United States in the DC universe. And, you know, Superman is understandably unamused by this. But he's going around and he's giving, you know, it's like he has little conversations with different folks in the Justice League. He's leaving little presents with the different people. So there's guest artists for each segment. There's a segment with Martian Manhunter and Plastic Man with Humberto's art, which actually worked for the story, I thought. There's Rob Liefeld and Norm Ratmond on Aquaman. There is Mike Waringo on the Green Lantern piece. We have Art Adams doing a turn with The Flash. We have Ian Churchill doing the Wonder Woman segment and Joe Madureira doing Batman and, you know, really the wrap up at the end. And it was just fun little vignettes. Again, this is something that kind of moved the story along a little bit with the Lex Luthor thing. But, you know, each one was Superman just given kind of like an amusing little gift to each one of his people that he's in the Justice League with. Kind of funny.
Yeah, I had totally misremembered this one. I knew it was him going around giving gifts, but have they done another one where Clark and Lois are going around shopping for gifts?
Yeah, I think they have. And they've also done other ones with Superman where it's like on Christmas Eve, he
goes through the mailbag.
Reads the mailbag.
Yeah.
Of, you know, kind of the dead letter office and like goes and grants, you know, Christmas wishes for people that have written him letters and stuff. So there's some other Superman Christmas issues kicking around out there.
I think the one I had been remembering and thought this was when Clark and Lois were going buying gifts.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm remembering that one right, and I could be totally mistaken with my bad memory, that was a better issue than this. This was good, but it was too much on the whole bit with Lex Luthor and some of that, that the giving of gifts was almost incidental, and I didn't think the choice of gifts, by and large, was particularly brilliant. The one I thought was the best was the segment with Wonder Woman, where she gets the Mjolnir hammer or whatever, which is a callback to the storyline they did in, I forget which annual or something, where they go and fight the Norse gods for, you know, a millennium or two. So this was good. It certainly furthered a lot of the characterization in the storyline. The shifting art, by and large, worked pretty well. They had good choices for who they put on which. So it was fun.
I liked it probably more than you did. I liked the gifts. They're funny. Gave Plastic Man a box of rubber bands. He gave Choco's cookies to Martian Manor, which is a nod back to the
Oreo type stuff, yeah.
Yeah, the Oreos that he was addicted to in the Giffen Justice League run, and gives a little snow globe to Aquaman, and ring polish to Green Lantern, and tube socks to the Flash, the Mjolnir to Wonder Woman, of course, and Batman, he gives a magnifying glass, and he tells him that it's from Lois, because he knows Batman at this point in DC continuity wouldn't take it if it was from Superman.
Yeah, so that was good. And then finally, we have Wolverine number 49, and this is from the series that started in 2003. This particular issue is from 2007, so it's one of the more recent ones that we picked. And basically, Wolverine gets sent shopping by Kitty Pryde and gets sucked into almost a Die Hard type heist scheme. And this one was had the Christmas dressing, you know, and stuff. I don't know if I'd say it had the Christmas theme in the same way that the Superman Santa Claus issue did and stuff like that. But this was just a fun issue. It had some good lines here and there. It had, I thought, a kind of a funny take on the whole Die Hard sort of storyline. Because, you know, they're all trapped in a mall with a bunch of, you know, essentially terrorists trying to get a bunch of money and stuff. So I liked it. I thought it was good.
I thought it was okay. I liked it probably less than you. The ending was poor.
I'll agree with that. I thought the ending was weak. What did you think of the rest?
I thought it was okay. I mean, it kind of, you know, the kidnapping and the little guys in the elf suits and stuff. I mean, I don't typically read Wolverine, so it's not my biggest cup of tea. It was okay.
That's fair. I just like how they had a couple of jokes about Wolverine, kind of sort of at his expense, but not too badly. You know, it's like, well, I'll have this place back to normal in half an hour. And then the terrorists announce they've got bombs all over the place. And he's like, maybe longer. And I thought the lead terrorist guy was just kind of entertaining.
Yeah, he was funny. Like kind of the stumble bum leader, you know, from kind of a not taken too seriously kind of thing. Maybe that was what kind of, you know, you had the comedic elements, but then you had things getting blown up and people getting shot and Wolverine carving people up with his claws. So it was kind of like you're kind of getting bounced back and forth.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't handled as well as, you know, like the humor elements in like a Die Hard movie or something.
So it was good. If you like Wolverine and you want a Wolverine Christmas issue, certainly this is the one to go to.
Yep.
But I would have to say out of the bunch, Fables head and shoulders above the rest.
Yeah. My favorite was, if I had to rate these, I would probably go Fables, Christmas with the Superheroes, Extreme Super Christmas Special, Superman, and then Wolverine, bringing up the rear.
I can see that. And certainly that Christmas with the Superheroes had a number of good stories, and man, for the price you can get it at these days, $2, I mean, you can't go wrong.
That John Byrne cover in and of itself on that's worth the price of admission.
Yeah. Well, what I can't figure out is I know I've read a few of these stories before, I just don't know where. So, because I don't think I've got that DC Special series. Maybe I do.
It might have been reprinted in one of the digests at some point along the line.
And that would have been almost certainly where I read it, and I'm pretty sure that's where I would have read that Justice League story. But good stuff all the way around. Next year we should probably do another one or two of the Superman ones, because some of the mailbag ones are pretty good. We'll have to find some other good holiday-themed ones. Speaking of holiday-themed issues, do you want to do the Christmas contest?
Sure. So if you go to our website, www.comicbookpage.com/forum, in the forums, you'll see the area for the Comic Book Page podcast. And under there, there's a thread called JLA Fans Christmas Contest. And within that thread, you'll see the picture. And what I did there was, this is the same picture I used for my Christmas card this year. And what I did was I just took a big pile of Christmas comics and tried to artfully arrange them so that you got the various Christmas elements out of each cover, but that I didn't totally give away the title and number of every single issue, you know, but you kind of get the general theme there. And there are 13 total comic books shown here. And the contest was identify as many of these as you can. And we had quite a few entrants. We only had one person who got all 13 exactly correct.
Well, there were a couple that were really tough.
I purposely did that, you know. And the one, you know, the one that I thought was going to be the hardest was indeed the hardest. But the rundown of the comics that came in, and there's actually a key here on the page that one of the listeners actually sent in, a little outline here that kind of shows who sent that one. Will Jabberjaw?
Yeah.
Is that who sent that in?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Jibberjaw. He's Jibberjaw on the forum. So we have 13 books. So starting in the upper left-hand corner, we have Superman number 165 from February 2001, which we talked about in this episode. Then the really difficult one came next, which was Flare number 30 with The Adventures of Chrissy Claus. Flare number 30 featuring The Adventures of Chrissy Claus from Heroic in January of 2006. We have a Teen Titans number 13, the Teen Titans Swingin' Christmas Carol, which is actually reprinted in this Christmas with the Superheroes issue that we reviewed in this episode. We've got Blade number 4, or the 2006 run, volume 4. That's got like vampire and a Santa suit on the cover. We've got Fables number 56, which we talked about here. We've got DC Special Series number 21 from 1977. And actually the series was from 77. This actual issue is from 1980. This one, two of the issues in that Christmas with the Superheroes were reprinted from this particular issue. I've got the DC Comics Presents number 67. Again, that comic was reprinted in the Christmas with the Superheroes. That was the Superman and Santa Claus. We've got the Marvel Holiday Special from 2006, where you got the Incredible Hulk in a Santa hat, and he's sitting with a bunch of presents next to him. And then we had the DCU Infinite Holiday Special from 2007. We have the Bakers Meet Jingle Bell. We have JSA number 55, and that particular issue we have Wildcat sitting on Santa's lap and the Golden Age Green Lantern's there with a Santa Claus hat on. And there's a little sliver of this Wolverine issue that we did this episode, number 49, where you kind of see Wolverine in the Santa suit with his claws popped out. So that was kind of a giveaway for that one. And then, of course, the last image in the bottom right-hand corner of the card was this Christmas with the Superheroes number 1, which I kind of didn't obscure that much just because I love that image. I wanted to get as much of that image on the card. So anyway, those were the 13 issues. And as far as entrants, the ones that were problematic for people, number 2 was the hardest, and I kind of expected that. A lot of people missed number 2.
That was the Flare issue?
Flare issue number 30. A lot of people also, which to my surprise, had a lot, well, I guess not to my surprise. You know, I wasn't expecting it, but that Blade issue, that caused a lot of people some trouble.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty recent, so I thought, you know, maybe, you know, since it was out just last year, I think that it wouldn't have been, but, you know, I don't think that many people get the Blade series, so
no,
that's probably why that was a problem. Another one that was challenging to people was that DC Special Series number 21. A lot of people misnamed that because the cover of that one says Superstar Holiday Special, and it's really DC Special Series number 21. And then a couple of people misnamed the DC Comics Presents number 67 as just Superman and Santa Claus. And that's the, you know, what's on there.
That surprises me, because you can clearly see the Comics Presents thing.
And then one other one that is, you know, the Bakers Meet Jingle Bell. You know, a lot of people miss that. Again, not surprising. You know, that's a kind of a fringe title. But Justin Carguth got 13 out of 13. Perfect score. So, Justin, you are to be applauded. Send me your name, or I know your name. Send me your address. Confirm that your name is Justin Carguth for me. And,
it's a trick question. Be careful.
Yeah, send me your address, and I will be mailing you the hardcover of Kraven's Last Hunt. And a job well done. I applaud you, sir.
Yay.
good job. I kind of purposely didn't make this really easy. I guess just as a rundown of where some other people came in, the next closest to his 13 out of 13 was there was a 12 out of 13. There were several 11 out of 13s that missed numbers 2 and 6, which were the Flair and the DC Special Series one. There were some at 10, and then it goes down from there. There were a lot of entries that were just like, hey, I'll take a shot at it, you know, and it's like they hit like, you know, 6 or 7 out of the 13.
That Flair was a tough one. The Baker's one was really tough. I literally stumbled across that at one point. And then that Blade one, I didn't even have a clue where to start. Not that I submitted or anything. I, of course, took myself out.
Yeah.
But most of the others, it's like, okay, you've got the one in the bottom left, and we've got Captain Marvel in the white suit with the hood, so it's got to be fairly recent. That, you know, it's Superman, so that's obviously a DC one. So some of these weren't too hard. But a few, it's like, damn.
And hopefully it was fun. I mean, I had a fun time. I mean, I ended up taking like 3 or 4 different pictures, and Janine and Steven were helping me, and I'd take a picture and I'd, you know, try to do it so I wasn't getting the glare from the flash on the camera. Mm. And, you know, and then it'd be like, well, you know, that one has got like, you know, I guess if you see the full cover of like that Jingle Bell one in particular, you can only see it cut off in this image, but you got, you know, Kyle Baker and Santa kind of wrestling, and they got like a giant protruding rump, you know, and it's like, I had that one in the middle at one point. They're like, I don't want to see like Santa's butt is the main feature of this whole thing that, you know, is drawing your eye. So I kind of like shifted things around a little bit, and I'm kind of happy with how the image ultimately ended up.
Yeah, no, that's good.
The elements that came out. So I thought it was fun. Hopefully everyone who entered had a good time searching around for the Christmas things. And hopefully this episode, which we should have out by Christmas Eve, will put people into a holiday spirit a little bit. And there we go.
Cool. The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.